have been talking about rejection. We've been talking about that for many, many weeks. How many of you has God opened your eyes to some areas where he has wanted to bring you to a place of freedom? How many of you have felt pressed down for so long in areas of your life, and God is hopefully starting to reveal to you that he's wanting to give you the grace to stand up in that and to defeat the enemy? I'm going to tell you, I believe that tonight God wants to do a supernatural healing. I have believed that so strong since I got up this morning. Me and some women have already been up at this church, and I can't wait till I get to say me and some women and men. I'm telling you, it's not a woman's group. It is a strong group of people that are coming together and believing that this is a place that God has anointed to hear his voice. And I'm going to tell you, today there was such a praise that came up out of this church in that moment that was just, it was something that was so faith-filled. It touched, I know, God's heart, and it's derived from God because God just started moving in such a place of praise. How many know God inhabits the praises of his people? And God will move on our hearts at different times to praise us in a battle, to praise us in oppression, to praise us in a season. And if we'll start praising God, he defeats the enemy for us. How many of you know that? Praise causes God to bring confusion on our enemies. And so today we released a powerful season of praise, and I believe it was for tonight. I believe that God wants to finish some things that I think he's been working on all the last few weeks. I'm going to tell you, in my own personal life, I've got a commitment level with me and God going tonight that is finished tonight. Tonight, I believe God is going to do in my heart what is supposed to be done to finish some things in my heart tonight. And I believe God wants to do that for you. So tonight, we're going to end tonight letting God have his way. Are you guys okay with that? We're going to let God do what he wants. I'm going to tell you, if God wants to heal you tonight, are you one to deny that? If God wants to do a restoration work in you tonight, are you one to deny that? Man, I don't ever want to be one that said, God said, I was offering it to you. I was trying to hand it to you. I was here to give it to you. And then I didn't want to take it. So I can assure you, if God has been dealing with your heart, if he has been igniting a fire, if he has been speaking to you, if he has been revealing in the spiritual eyes that we've been talking about, I promise you God wants to do something in that tonight. I believe tonight it is appointed night for God to either start, begin, or finish some works he's already begun in each one of our lives tonight. So that's how we're going to end tonight. But we're going to touch one more step into rejection, because we have talked about rejection up and down and all the sides and all of it in between. But one thing we have not talked about rejection is rejection when it comes to unity and a bond. Now, what do I mean by that? I personally walked through that. And I'm going to tell you, in today's society, most people, you're in the average if you have walked through a divorce before. And one thing about a divorce is it causes a rejection in your heart. Because God brought two people together, and he brought them together in a unity, and he brought them together to be one. And because of the enemy's works in our lives and the enemy's works in others' lives, it causes a deep rejection. And that was not something that God intended, but that's something definitely that God has to heal. And I'm going to tell you, I've walked through that, and I've walked through that in such a way, and I'm going to tell you what God did in that. I'm so thankful. I'm so thankful for the way that God rescued me, for the way that God came in and saved me, for the way that God came in and restored. I think that all the time. I am so thankful God is good at coming behind my mistakes and making them right. That God is good at that. But I had to take a season to allow God to heal me of all the rejection that I had allowed myself to walk through in that season. Because when we get married, when we come into union, we both agree, right? We both say, I do. It's not something we're being forced to do. We both come into that agreement. And then when we choose to, or by somebody else's choice, there's a split. There's a rejection that goes on both sides of that. And God has to come in, and he's got to do something in that, to where you look back at that and you say, God, you made that beautiful. If not, you let the devil have it. If not, you let the devil have it. If you can't look back at that and say, God, you made that beautiful, You have not let God have his complete work in that. Does that mean that you and that person get back together? No. Me and my ex-husband, we are not back together. Does that mean he's even living for the Lord? No. He's made his choices. He's made his choices. Was that my desire? No. Was that his desire? That was the enemy's desire. That was the devil's working. But one thing I'm going to tell you is, if I would not have allowed God to come into my heart and to do what he needed to do in my heart, my children would have suffered. My future spouse would have suffered. And all my relationships connected around that would have suffered. But when you let God come in and do what he wants to do in the face of that kind of rejection, you'll find out that God did something so beautiful in it. God didn't just save you. He healed you. He restored you. And he blessed you. And he came into your heart and he did something that only walking through something like that can do. He made it beautiful. He made it beautiful. So tonight, Miss Barbara, if she'll come ahead and come up here. How many of you know Miss Barbara? She's worked up here a lot with us in Freedom. She's got the book tonight. She has walked out this story in such a miraculous way. God uses things in our life for good if we let them. God will use any situation or mess you got yourself into to make it beautiful if you let him. And so I encourage you tonight to listen to what God showed her in the beauty in her mess. In the mess.
In the mess. I was a mess. But I'm beautiful now. And I've been happily married for 28 years now. But for the sake of this story, I am remarried. I will use my story because it's my story. And God did make it beautiful. And I know you're always supposed to start something funny when someone gives you a topic to talk about. I learned in a public speaking that you're supposed to be an icebreaker, but it's kind of hard to be an icebreaker or be enthusiastic about talking about rejection, isn't it? But you will get enthusiastic because there are some keys that the Lord has given me. And so I will just refer to my ex-husband as my husband for this story. Is that okay with everybody so I don't have to keep going? Ex-husband. So, my story is that for a period of years, several years in fact, I went through rejection, very much rejection. It started out with a very troubled marriage. All we did was fight and argue and complain and gripe and at each other, and we had three children, and it was a miserable situation. But through that situation, I loved God. I was not a born-again Christian at the time, but I loved God. And I was searching for answers. And even though I didn't know Jesus in a personal way, in a reborn-again way, I was searching. I wanted a good marriage. I was crying out to the Lord, and I desired for him to make it a stable marriage, make it a happy marriage, make it one that he desired. And I started on that search, and that search led me straight into the arms of Jesus. I ran smack into his arms, and I found a happiness with him and a love from him that just completely revolutionized my life. I mean, when I came to the Lord, it was a very radical, radical change in my life. But it was a happy change. People used to talk about me and say, Barbara is on cloud nine, and I don't know when she's ever coming down. And that's what happened to me. It was so radical that I was on this, everything was clearer to me. Everything was brighter. Everything was happier. Everything was more colorful. And I just knew that I had all this to give to the marriage I was desiring to be made whole and to be stable. And I just couldn't wait to get home and tell my husband all about it. I mean, I got born again. I got filled with the Holy Ghost. I was speaking in tongues. And I went home and I was so excited about it. And I was sitting down telling him all that. And he just looked at me like I was nuts. I mean, I thought he was going to be excited about it. But actually, he was very mad. Very mad. See, because all this time, he was already planning what he was going to do. The enemy had already worked on him. and he had his plans. And so by the time he got through telling me all of his plans, this big rainbow colorful balloon that I was on, all those arrows of rejection kept hitting that balloon, and all I could feel was I kept falling, and I mean, I was going, Lord, somebody give me a parachute before I hit. I mean, it was like one minute I was up here, and the next minute I was, all my hopes and dreams and all the love that the Lord put in my heart for this man that I wanted to give him, it was like he didn't want it. He didn't want it. And it hurt bad. And I didn't know it was coming. I thought it was going to be a really wonderful time. But, you know, sometimes the Lord has different ways, doesn't he? And so I, even though I was hurting in that situation, I ran to the Lord. I knew where to run. When you're desperate and you've been searching for so long and you finally get the answer, you know where to run. Because he had filled me with himself. And so I ran to him. And I ran to him for several years. And at that time, we had a prayer garden in our church. And I'm so thankful. It was back in the middle 80s. And we had a prayer garden. And you took a 12-hour shift in that prayer garden. And at first, it was really hard, you know, for a lot of people, for me, you know, because 12 hours alone with the Lord, that's really a sacrifice. But then in my situation, when all that happened, it was like I would run to that place. I couldn't wait to sign up, and I hoped nobody was taking it, because sometimes I would go in there two or three times a month because I needed it so desperately. And during that time, the Lord just would speak to me. And I found that in his presence was where I got all my answers. It was his presence that gave me the strength that I needed to go on. It was his presence. And in that time, in that presence, he gave me three things. He gave me a blueprint of what I was to do. He gave me keys on how to operate in that realm and how to walk it. And then through that, he gave me a foundation. He built that foundation in my life. And it wasn't a quick fix, but it was a surrendered life. And if you want any marriage to work, this is what you have to do. You have to sacrifice. And sometimes it's not easy, and sometimes it's not, but the Lord always has an antidote for your situation. And that word antidote means that it's a remedy or an agent to counteract poison. And I want to tell you that rejection is a poison. It will poison your mind, and it will poison your physical body. And it poisons your mind in such a way that it just starts rehashing all the memories, and all the memories are painful memories. And it'll make you have thoughts and feelings that God never, never intended you to go through. God never intends us to have to go through that kind of rejection in our life, or to deal with all that worry and oppression and fears and stress on your body. And it depresses your immune system. I mean, I just went through a whole series of stuff. But he gave me a remedy which helped. And that remedy was two things: love and forgiveness. And I know that sounds like, oh yes, you got to love somebody and you got to forgive them. But what happened to me was, the love that he gave me, it was, all I can say is at that time, he poured an anointing of love on my life. It was like I was baptized in love. And it was all him. I mean, his love completely took over my whole thinking process. And I could forgive. Because forgiveness was the only thing that drained all the poison out of me. And it got to be it got to be a real blessing in my life. I couldn't wait to forget. That's how it wound up, through us just developing that discipline in my life and for choosing to forgive. And at first, you know, you don't feel like forgiving, but you know you have to. So, and then the Lord, the agent that He used was the Holy Spirit. He filled me with the Holy Spirit. And I want to say that if you want to completely sever the head of any kind of spirit, in this case that we're talking about, a rejection, if you want to completely sever that spirit so that it won't rise up again, you're not going to do it without the power and the anointing of the Holy Spirit in your life. It's not going to happen. You have to grant ownership to the Holy Spirit, and you have to surrender your heart to God's plan. And when you do that, God does such wonderful things. Because if you don't, what you bury alive stays alive. It gets embedded down in your emotions, in your thought processes, and then it starts affecting your self-image. And so if you don't deal with those things, they're still going to continually bleed on the inside. They're going to keep bleed. They bleed on the inside, and it overflows in your life on the outside. So you have to deal with that. But rejection, what rejection does is it really rejects God. When my husband rejected me, he rejected the marriage, he rejected the restoration, he rejected God in me. He rejected God completely. Rejection refuses to know God. He refused to have a personal experience with the Lord. It also refuses to accept the truth of the Word of God, because the Word of God is the only thing that can set you free. And it causes division. And so in my case, he broke the covenant of marriage. He abandoned me. He abandoned my children. He was involved with other women. There was verbal abuse. There was physical abuse. I had rejection from my in-laws. I had rejections from my neighbors. I had rejections from some of my friends. And I had rejection from the church that I went to. And I felt completely alone in my flesh, but in the spirit, I knew where I had to go. I knew that I had a friend, and I knew that he was everything, and he was all that I ever needed. And it taught me that I don't need anybody else. Sure, you can have other people help you and minister to you and give you wisdom, but when it comes down to everything, God's the only thing you need. He's the only thing you have to have, because he's the only answer for you, for your life. And so I found out that the love that God poured on me, that I did not react like I normally did. And because I could forgive him and really love him and sacrifice to this man, that I wanted my marriage to work. I wanted it to work. I wanted everything to be beautiful again for the sake of the children. And I knew that this is what God wanted. So I wanted what God wanted. And it was, I learned that selfishness finds its strength in getting. But then I learned that love found its strength in giving. And sometimes love can seem so weak, but there's nothing weak about love. Love conquers. Love can conquer. Jesus conquered it. Everybody thought Jesus was weak, but he was not weak. He was strong. And when God said that we needed to forgive 70 times 7, I know what that's like. Because I think I did more than 70 times 7. And I learned it was kind of like, every time I forgave him, every time I walked in love, then more love came back at me. The Lord filled me and blessed me more. He gave me more patience. He gave me more. It was like paying it forward. You know that movie, You Pay It Forward? Well, that's kind of how forgiveness works. It's kind of how love works when you love someone that's unlovable. When you forgive someone that really hurts you, and you, in all reality, you shouldn't have to forgive him. He should be coming to you and saying how much, but anyways, it's a two-way deal. You know, I wasn't a perfect person either. And it takes two to make a marriage. When people say it takes half of one and half of the other, 50-50, that's a lie. It takes 100% from both parties to make a marriage work. And so I learned how to walk in love and joy and really all the character of the Holy Spirit. That's where I got disciplined, was how to walk in Galatians 5, 22 and 23. Love, peace, patience, kindness, gentleness, goodness, faithfulness, self-control. Against such things there is no law. There is no penalty for loving. There is only penalty for not loving. And every time you don't love somebody, you know, you pay a penalty. It's either conviction in your heart or something happens outside in your life. It never goes right. It never goes right when you don't make a choice to love. So it's a choice of our will. It's giving up ownership of our selfish nature for His presence, His strength, His rest, His word, His peace. It gives us life. So that's the blueprint the Lord showed me and the keys that He gave me. And around that, I built a foundation. Because through that, I always knew God's presence. I always knew He was sheltering me. I could run to Him. He was my hiding place. He saved me from every storm. He saves me from every storm now. He commands us to be strong wherever we go. And when we walk in love, we find out that all those meaningless things in life that He gives, God gives everything meaning. And He takes every painful thing, every painful memory that you have, He takes it. And you're challenged with it. And when you accept that challenge, you find a positive thing in your life. You find what you're worth. You find your own value, and you find your own identity in Christ. That's what I found in my life. And I believe that's for everybody. You don't have to be a big person to take on the enemy of rejection. Because the fear of the enemy is God's presence. And I want you to get that, because that is very revelatory. The fear, the enemy fears most is God's presence. And the same Spirit that raised Jesus Christ from the dead, where does it dwell? It dwells in you, doesn't it? So you get in God's presence, the enemy hates it. And so that is why God is on your side. You don't have to fear anything because He's on your side. If you're following in the presence of God, then He's on your side. So I want to kind of wrap this up. And, we just have to be thankful to God. No matter how many bruises we have, we always have to be thankful to God, because He works out things according to His way. And He changes things. And I have a wonderful, beautiful marriage of 28 years. Because I really believe that as I walked in love, that He already had His whole plan out for me. He already knew that the person I was married to was not going to change. Even though I believed it with my whole heart, I believed it. And it didn't happen. But God rewarded me. He always rewards you for doing what He tells you to do. And don't let the enemy lie to you and say, you got cheated, because that's what he tried with me. You got cheated because you got a divorce. No, I didn't get cheated. He got cheated. He got cheated of a life and a love that he had never known before. And he still doesn't have it. He's still living his same lifestyle. And that, to me, is sad. Very sad. So I just want to read this little poem that the Lord gave me when I was in the prayer garden one night. It was a night that I was really broken. I was bruised. It was one of them times that I was at probably the very lowest of my life. And this is what he downloaded in me. And he told me I was a flower. And so I named this We Are Flowers. A stately flower, tall and strong, growing towards the sun. But rejections and hurts have bruised our stem as we're bent down towards the ground. The young reed tossed by life's objections bends itself in sorrow, only to be lifted again by Christ's almighty power. Don't hide your hurts from the loving physician who can heal your broken heart. He'll apply the healing oil to the wound and set you free. Your bruised heart he'll set to liberty. And I just want to say that tonight, I use that poem a lot in my life. And I reflected on it a lot. And I just really believe that God is healing for all those people that have gone through rejection. I mean, a really deep rejection. He's here. And I really believe that there is an anointing and the presence of God is here to heal all your broken hearts, to heal every bruise, to heal every arrow that has pierced you, to heal every painful memory that you have gone through. I really believe that tonight. And so, if there's anybody, did you want to come up? If there's anybody that feels that they want to come up to the altars?
I really believe tonight is a night that God has specifically designed for every person in here in some way. I believe tonight, because when we know something, it's our job to step into what we know. Now, it's God's job to step in and do what we could never do. But when we know something, it's our job to step up and say, God, I might be the one that believes. I'm going to be the one that hopes. See, because here's what rejection does. It comes in and it wants you to stop hoping and stop dreaming and stop saying the best is ahead of me. Rejection wants to come into your life in such a way, and it wants to tell you things like, you know what? It has altered all the rest of your future. Nothing will ever be that good. There is a place in your life where everything from the past has caused an effect on everything before you. Rejection wants you to believe that. The devil desires for you to think his thoughts about your life. And I'm going to tell you something that's very, very true. You can't defeat the rejection. Now, Crystal, you've been up here for weeks telling me that I have the authority over rejection. You've been telling me forever that we have the power. I'm telling you, you have the power, but it's got nothing to do with you. It takes a surrendered heart to access what God can only do through you. There's no amount of stubbornness, pride, or ambition that can cause the former to cause an effect on the future, to cause a blessing like we saw David walk out. There's nothing you can do that can change any of it. You are dependent on God for that. That's why we've got to get to a place in our life to where we say, it's a surrendered life that opens up and accesses the faith that it takes to believe that what God wants in your life, He will do in your life. You got to hope. You got to dream. You got to believe things that for no other reason you should be believing them except God whispered them into your ear. See, all throughout the life of a rejected person, the purpose of that is to get you to a place to where you say, this is my lot in life. This is what God has for me. It's not ever what I dreamed of, but it's what I can be settled with. But it's a lie. That's the lie of rejection, because it's going to come to you and it's going to deny and it's going to defy the incredible thing that God made you for. And it's greater than you could ever dream. And at times in our life, we access that supernaturally right here. And we have a great time in church, or we have an anointed time in prayer. But I'm going to tell you something. God has more for you than those moments. And rejection wants to keep you from believing that's what God has for you. And I'm going to tell you, we've just come dull to it. We've just come okay with it. I remember one time I was sitting at my parents' house because my husband had left me and he had left my kids, and neither one of us were living right at that time. But one thing I knew is, I knew God had made our lives for more than what it was. I knew deep down inside of me that this spirit that God had put inside of me was His, and that there was going to be more. There was going to be more that was going to come out of this. Now, was it possible in any way for me to access that? No. We have to surrender. We have to surrender. This is why the Bible says, and I'm taking two verses and I'm putting them together because I feel like they go so hand in hand. It says, lest Satan should take advantage of us, for we are not to be ignorant of his devices. I'm going to tell you, rejection is a device of the enemy. And you are not to be ignorant of it. God has created such purpose in each and every one of you. And every time that you go against that thought, that I'm not made for something special, you're denying the very center of what God made you for. Don't be ignorant to it anymore. Don't stop hoping. Don't stop dreaming. Don't stop thinking the best is yet to come. But don't ever get confused that it's up to you. Because then it says, and we have such trust through Christ toward God. Not that we are sufficient of ourselves to think of anything as being from ourselves. Remember, we can't defeat it. But our sufficiency, it comes from God. And if you can come into agreement that God, from the day I was born, every marriage that I've had to walk through, rejection has told me something that I refuse to believe anymore. That tonight, I'm going to tap into at least a thought, a promise, a seed, that from this day on, I'm going to hope and dream your hopes and your dreams for my life. Because I'm going to tell you, you don't do Him justice if you don't. God invested a whole lot in sending His Son to give you everything you need to stand up to that enemy and say, that is not my future. That is not even my past. That might have been your thoughts of my past, but God's thoughts of my past is how beautiful that's going to look when it shines in all His glory. So tonight I'm going to ask you something. I'm going to ask you to make a commitment here tonight. To make a commitment here tonight that at whatever place rejection has tried to squash your dreams, has tried to pin you down, has tried to convince you that this is it. This is all God has for you. I want you to come into agreement that God has something more. So if every one of you in here that say, I believe that God has more for me than this, I want you to stand up. If you come into agreement that God has more for me than this, I want you to make that first stand. Because remember, that's what God calls us to do, is to make a step into a moment to where we say, okay, God, this is my part. I'm going to believe. I'm going to believe. And then I'm going to ask God in the next 3 minutes. I'm going to ask God to do His part. I'm going to tell you, I believe without a doubt God will do His part. I'm going to ask God to speak things that only He can speak, that will give you the hope and the faith to be able to stand in the surrendered place that God has for you tonight. To be able to tell rejection no more, because this is what my God thinks of me. Will you turn that up just a little bit louder? I'm asking every person to just allow this moment to be His moment. And in your heart, let every lie of oppression and rejection come to a place in your heart and say, I'm spitting it out, devil. It's not me anymore. And just like that little Canaanite woman, open up your spiritual ears and your spiritual eyes and let God speak a word that will fill your spirit with hope. Father, we ask You right now to have Your way. And what we have found out on Wednesdays is if we show up and ask Him to speak, God speaks.
You will fly. You will fly.
matter how many times you've looked at someone's face and everything about their expression told you you were not perfectly made. You are beautiful. You are constructed by the hands of the Creator of the earth from the rising of the sun. Your beauty to me shines forth every day and every night. You're beautiful. And accept it. Accept the beauty that I've placed on your life. Accept my thoughts into your heart. Resist and reject the lie that the enemy has told you every morning and every day. Get up every day and tell yourself what your Father tells you. You are beautiful to me. From the top of your head to the very bottom of your feet, I have created you. I only make things beautiful. Soul, that you are the value in everything that we do. God, I thank you that you are our reward. And I thank you that, Father God, that we agree. I want you all just to look at me for just a second. I want you to come into agreement. You know that if two can send to 10,000, how many can we all send? Let's all come into a spiritual, supernatural agreement together. And let's just declare, say, devil, your lies will find no more place in this heart. This heart is reserved for the King. It's got His name on it. It's got His name on it. And I'm going to tell you, your heart was made to only receive words from your King. Anything else that tries to come into it, it's going to feel awkward. It's going to feel like it don't belong. It's going to make you feel uncomfortable. Don't think that's you. That is the enemy trying to come into something he never, ever, ever had a right to anyways. You were made for something beautiful. So tonight, God, we come into agreement with you. And we declare out of our mouth that our eyes have been opened. We know the plans of the enemy and rejection is under our feet. I want everybody in here to just say, rejection is under my feet. It's not in my heart. It's not in my mind. And when I see it, I know where to put it. I don't let it in. I put it under my feet. Father, I thank you that tonight that you started a good work and that you put faith like seeds in good ground, that this is a good ground. This is a fertile ground. This is a ground that is filled with the Holy Spirit, and that what you have planted in their hearts, Father God, that it reaps good fruit and that it is an abundant place. And Father God, I thank you this is not just one thought from you, but you're going to flood your thoughts into the lives of your people. This church is going to be a church that walks, talks, and conquers because we're sons and daughters of the King. We're sons and daughters of the King. Jesus, thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you that you are faithful. I'm going to tell you, God is faithful. And what He's promised you that He's going to do, He has done. He has done. So whenever the enemy comes to you and tries to say, hey, well, that's done. That's done. My God is faithful. And when the enemy brings back memories and lies, you say, you know what? That's coming out because God is faithful. God is faithful to complete a good work in you. Jesus, I thank you that you are completing a good work tonight. I thank you, Lord, for everything that you have done. And I thank you that it is finished in Jesus' mighty name. In Jesus' name.